And there was news in the media world this week that had some purists alarmed. Arianna Huffington, the founder and editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post, is joining Uber's board of directors. The HuffPost says Huffington will give up editorial control over stories about the ride-hailing app. But is this still a conflict of interest? And while we're on the subject of the media, where are we on the backlash over the GQ piece on Donald Trump's wife? NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik is here. Hi, David.
Robin, hello.
And to the Uber story, now many nonprofit board, small companies ask board members to actually donate if you join the board. You donate money. But corporate board members are often paid and paid big money. Will she be and what will she do?
I certainly expect her to be paid. She may well be given certain kinds of shares that will be valuable. We don't have this kind of information because Uber is not publicly traded. It's privately held. But as a board member, all the other members of the board that I've been able to identify are investors or are executives with the company. You know, she is, as the CEO of Uber said, she's expected to give them advice to bring her sense of, as he called it, her ethos and her pathos. But I expect her to be kind of a brand ambassador for Uber and also advise them. They've had a lot of controversies,
right,
real ones, class action lawsuits from both their clients and from their contractors who work for them who were suing it initially for status as employees. There have been a lot of questions of safety. So she's somebody who I think is going to try to help them think through how they present themselves publicly, even as they've been a pretty fabulously successful startup.
Well, and that could be on its face all this is, that they are making a serious move to have a serious person come and advise them on these things that have landed them on the front page. But does it worry you from a journalistic ethics standpoint?
Well, I think the word serious is also one that, you know, is subject to interpretation in this context. I mean, she's really smart, very canny, very smart about brand, particularly about herself. But, you know, this isn't a potential of a conflict of interest. This is, pretty much a straight up conflict of interest. Her argument, in effect, is we'll manage it rather than we're going to sidestep it. You know, but it absolutely exists. The Huffington Post, if it's going to be taken seriously for the quality of the journalism that its reporters provide, is going to have to cover the growth of Uber, which is not only an enormous startup and kind of really trying to very much change the nature of essentially taxi business in cities around the country, but it's also, you know, one of these kinds of signature companies in thinking about how Silicon Valley works and thinking about how traffic safety works and in thinking about how millennials operate socially, which is the kind of thing that's really important to their readership. So she may be dismissing herself as the person who will get involved to intervene in coverage, but we've seen an instance in which a senior editor did just that, in a few days within the announcement that she would be joining the corporate board. And I think, as a news organization, people are going to rightly question whether they're getting a full report from Huffington Post about these issues.
Well, I want to get to the GQ story for just a quick answer, though. Do you think any head of a media organization should ever sit on the board of a corporation?
I think it's totally problematic. If you want to be a serious, comprehensive news organization, you know, editors-in-chief, publishers often serve. I think that's even problematic. But editors-in-chief, you know, maybe journalistic or educational institutions.
Okay.
This is a very different kind of enterprise.
Well, your thoughts on the other media story. Julia Jaffe profiling Donald Trump's wife, Melania, last week in GQ. And now Jaffe's getting incredible vitriol to the extent that she had a casket company call her late at night and say, we hear you need one. I mean, death threats, anti-Semitic attacks. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's just amazing. I think her name is pronounced Jaffe. Julia Jaffe,
Jaffe.
Did a very thoughtful piece, with clearly some collaboration from the Trump camp. What she has gotten in exchange, because Melania Trump took exception to some of the ways in which she was characterized there, have been a series of abuses essentially online, essentially Holocaust rhetoric from the 1930s and 40s from Europe, of just the most vicious anti-Semitic slurs, also a misogynist anti-women stuff. This is, I think a confluence of Trump's willingness to single out women for derision, to go after entire categories of people like Muslims and Mexicans, and his unwillingness to back off from the ugliness of that rhetoric has appealed to a lot of people. I'm not saying that the majority of his supporters, but to many people who are themselves tapping into racist and hateful belief systems and rhetoric. And I think it's very telling that he hasn't stepped forward to denounce this in the most forceful way possible, no matter what his journalistic objections may be to that article.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thanks as always.
You bet.